Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the glorious opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you for the days that we live in, Father, and we just praise you for all the things that are unfolding in these days. And Father, I'm just asking that you take this message and you deliver it by your Spirit with pinpoint accuracy and great clarity. And we thank you, Father, that in the process that you sum up some things for us and also prepare us for the glorious days ahead. And so we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to move fast today. So that's okay because God's provided us with the third day anointing. And what that means is that when the Word of God goes into your heart being pure, you are going to be able to, those seeds are going to go in. And when you spend time with God in obedience to Him, in your daily fellowship, He will expand those seeds exactly the way that you need them to be expanded to prepare you perfectly. The scripture says in John that the Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance, all that he said to our remembrance. So we need to really be a people who are exercising faith in even the most practical things of life so that we can partake of God's provision and not try to think that we have to do something ourselves. All we have to do is maintain a sensitive heart before God and seek him with all of it. Now, in Luke 10:27 is found the divine requirement. Now, I've taught on that quite a bit. So today we're going to review some things. We're going to understand that we're in a time like no other. This is the fullness of time. Now, I want to explain the fullness of time as it applies in a practical manner to us. When we talk about the fullness of time, it's simply the manifestation of the fullness of God's will entering into time in any given moment. Now, what that means to us today is we've been so blessed to receive a great deal of revelation concerning this last of the last hour, and it's called the third day message. And so consequently, now we see the fullness of everything God ever prophesied over the church in type and symbol, Zion, and of course in the New Testament through the writings of Jesus and so forth in the Gospels. We are getting the full vision of what God had intended all along in order to fulfill the entirety of his purpose. So now, this is a time of a great flood. It's a time of a great flood internally, to be filled with the knowledge of God's glory and his presence. And it's a time to release that, to be a people who are vessels of all that God wants to fulfill in this last hour. So we have to, number one, understand that the divine requirement is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Extremely important, with all of our strength, with all of our body. I liked what Tim said last week, and it's exactly right, I believe, when it talks about loving the Lord with all your heart, and then that just includes everything else. And then he talked about the fruit of the Spirit, where it says the fruit of the Spirit are love, and then you could almost put a coal in there. You can do it either way, but you could put a coal in there, and then all those different fruit are manifestation of the love of God. Because God is love, and of course they all come from God, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. So, and then I talked a bit about, in the past, about in Ephesians 3, the importance of being rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend. Now, that was a few years ago that God gave me that revelation, along with the fact that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. When God first began to reveal that to me, it was an amazing thing, because then he began to speak to me about how in the last of the last hour, as the third day church, or the glorious church, began to take legs, that if our hearts weren't wholly given, if our hearts weren't remaining pure, then we would be deceived. And I'm seeing it come to pass now. Even the most well-intentioned person will still be deceived if they are not hooked into God in this last hour. And we're going to deal with some things. Again, summing up the importance of the inner chamber. This is, again, the fullness of time. If we do not serve God on his terms, we will be deceived and we will miss the mark. We talked about the fact that intimacy is the key to the fullness of transition into kingdom living. This is extremely important. And again, the inner chamber is fellowship with God, or time in that secret place with God on his terms. So the onus is on every last Christian walking the face of this earth to find out what God requires of them and to enter into that place, again, on his terms. And at the conference I just came from, God had me prophesy, and I believe this will be just a continual prophecy to all those who are seeking God in this last hour. If the Christian will enter into that place of intimate fellowship with God, with the Father and His Word on His terms, they will immediately be catapulted or elevated to a place that they did not think possible this side of heaven. That's the starting point as we move out into the third day. The principles of the kingdom are very simple, but the understanding of them is predicated upon one having a continually deeper revelation of the absoluteness of God. There is no partiality in God. And so the things I just shared with you are so important, because unless our hearts are pure, unless our hearts are seeking Him entirely, we are not going to understand the kingdom. We are still going to be in some way attached to the world and its ways, and its ways are selfishness, self-focus, self-striving, self-effort, all those things. We are coming down to a time of absolutes. We must understand this is a day like no other, and everything I'm saying today is just simply a gathering or a summing up of all that's been preached here, not only since I've been here, but since before that. All the things that God has given Faith Tabernacle and the people who have ministered here. And so God is summing them up. Why? Because it's a time for action. And that action is going to be the result of a total and absolute empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Again, we've entered into a time of absolutes. And of course, this again is the importance of being in fellowship with God, because if we don't fellowship with God on His terms, we'll never come to that place of knowing Him in His absoluteness. That's an extremely important thing, because from that revelation, we begin to see the absoluteness of the Scriptures. We begin to see that He's a God who says what He means and means what He says. And of course, by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, then we're able to understand what He is saying without all these added things that are being added to the Word in these days, and of course are causing false doctrine to come forth. We have to understand that in the Word of God is the very presence of God Himself. It's not just reading a book. We all should know that by now. And the revelation of everything we need to be is found in the Word. Everything that we need to be, all that we were created to be in Christ, is found in the Word. And so as we fellowship with the Father and His Word, and they disclose themselves, make themselves known to us, then we come into that understanding. Then we're truly a people who have the mind of Christ. We talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We talked about the importance of what that means. It means communicating with God continually. And that's part of acknowledging Him in all our ways. Then, you see, our paths are able to be directed. Again, the importance of spending time in fellowship with God, we're called to obedience. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. How are we going to know how to obey Him if we don't know what the commandment is? In this hour, we are going to have to be a people who walk or who abide in revelation knowledge without exception. Again, to be in a place that causes one to lean upon their own understanding and maintain that leaven will lead them into total darkness. Just defining perfect fellowship. Okay, perfect fellowship is defined as time spent with the Father and His Word on His terms. That's what He requires of each one of us, is perfect fellowship, right? True prayer is simply the perfect result of that fellowship with God. Because then, as it says in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire, or speak whatever you desire, and it shall be done. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we're going to touch on again, authoritative prayer and prophetic and apostolic proclamation in this last hour. Again, the importance of guarding our heart with all diligence and acknowledging God in all our ways, that brings us into the place of abiding and the place of walking by revelation, and it is the catalyst to fellowship with Him in the inner chamber. Extremely important. Another thing that's a catalyst is to have a clear conscience before God. Because if any element of sin is maintained, if we fail to abide in that perfect fellowship, then part of us has a misconception of God, and that misconception always produces mistrust. And that mistrust always causes us in a moment of pressure to take a step away from God instead of run to him. Again, we're going to go into detail on some of these things, but I'm just starting to go here. I just want to read that word that the Father gave me on the inner chamber so that we come to an understanding of what he requires. It doesn't matter what we think. We need to know what he requires and then be obedient to it. And he said, the inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. Again, the onus is on us to find out what that means and then obey. I want to say this to you because we are in a time of absolutes, and God is raising up a people who are going to move forth in his power. And again, it's a place that we've not yet seen up until this time. At best, we've had glimpses, and they were so glorious at times it caused us to stop and wonder, you know, at the awesomeness of God. But we can no longer be a people who can afford to stop and just be amazed at God's what God is doing, because it's going to be awesome. And I just want to throw this in here. One of the things that's very important, if we truly want to be a people who operate in a continual spirit of thanksgiving towards God, then we will continually take the next step in obedience, regardless of how blessed we are in this last hour. We cannot afford to be a people who stand still. And that was a word actually from the Father himself, because I tended to be blessed and then stop and look around and, you know, kind of suck that dry, which in its root is selfishness. But of course, the whole principle of the third day and kingdom living is to receive, have the blessings of God overtake us, bless, break, and distribute those. So we will be a people that keep moving, and the blessings will just keep overtaking us and be there and just keep moving. Satan in the past has caused or has been allowed to stop us to a degree. But again, isn't that all a part of self-focus? But we need to be a people who are focused or fixed on Jesus, as the word commands. Another absolute kingdom principle. Saves a lot of problems when you take these words and just actually obey them, you know, because the inner chamber is the place of empowerment, and it is the key to the fullness of transition into kingdom living. Again, we're going to a place we've never been before. It's an excellent place. We've had glimpses, but we're going to walk in this and abide in this. This teaching is called The Days Ahead, Part 8, and it's come a long time after number 7. The reason for that is simply this. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And we know we've entered into the fullness of time, and consequently, everything that happens now, from this time forth, we're going to be a church that caused the manifestation of the fullness of God's plan to come forth. We will not be a church who sits around talking about things or hoping a prophecy will come to pass. And again, I'm going to touch on that as I did a few weeks ago from Ezekiel 12. The scripture says that no longer will my words be delayed. So we have to be a people who are a believing people and who are no longer saying in our heart, not consciously, but saying in our heart that, oh, that's a wonderful word, but, you know, I don't see it right now. Oh, maybe just a little bit down the road. No, we need to be a people who are abiding in the word of God, abiding in an absolute faith, working through a perfect love, manifesting in a perfect obedience. And then as that kingdom cycle continues, again, this thing will accelerate right to the end of the age. And that's what's going to happen. Now, the difference between now and before is that God is moving. And the train is leaving the station, or the plane is leaving the runway. Whatever way you want to look at it, you need to be on the plane or on the train. You need to be in the position that God calls you to be in. The inner chamber is the only position from which one will overcome in all things in this last hour. This is not optional if you want to succeed, if you want to fulfill your destiny in Christ, for any Christian. God is simplifying things for us. Our job is simply to be ready and enter into the place of rest. Isaiah 58 defines the place of rest. A key definition is having ceased striving from your own works. And that, of course, includes even your own works in attempting to serve God or to please him. That's what I've seen as one of the final deceptions and tricks that the devil tries to keep in place for those who are truly seeking God. Because if he can get us to maintain any self-effort, then we will not be able to enter into the place that God has for us, the place we need to be, until we let go of that. And that's why God has been so faithful to do the work that he's done in us over many, many years and give us a revelation of the cross. The one thing that's happening in this last hour, as the people of God are going one way or another, is simply those who are going on into the fullness of the kingdom have a revelation of the cross in their own lives. The deepest work of the cross is continually being done. They're allowing it to be done because they've come to God on his terms, and the other people are going off into a place of intellectualism and mental ascension of God's word. It's producing many false doctrines and leading many people astray. But I'll tell you, in this last hour, the only people that will be led astray from here on in are those who have chosen to follow after men instead of follow after God. The judgment has already begun in the household of God, but I will prophesy to you right now, it is about to intensify to a greater degree than thought possible. And the devil's schemes are going to be smashed. And all those who truly have a seed of repentance in their heart, they will come into the light. So our job, again, is to stay ready and get ready. And that doesn't go for us. It goes for any true environment that God is establishing in the midst of his church in this last hour. What I'm saying to you, to sum it up, is the deal's on. All the things that we've been prophesied, all the things that we've learned are now going to be called to accountability before God, and we're going to be called to be walking in them. Amen. Extremely important. The Father's deepest heart desire is for you to come to the place wherein you trust him wholly. The devil's scheme from the time of one's birth is to cause them to come into a mistrust of God, thus keeping them from entering into the place of intimate fellowship in the inner chamber. Now, I don't spend a lot of time dealing with people in the world, but I know one of the serious issues out there that they have, and that psychologists and family counselors and all those types of people are trying to overcome, is this issue of intimacy. Of course, you know, husbands and wives in that situation, or parents with children, it's a mess out there in the world. Why? Because unless you have intimacy with God, you cannot be a vessel of intimacy to anybody else. It's that simple. And so the world, again, is out there looking for answers. But the good news is that when the third day church, or as the third day church begins to take legs, and the restorative love of the Father is released out into the world, it will cause a tremendous revival in the hearts of people. And they will come to know the love of God for mankind and for themselves, and this will produce a desire to draw near to him. And of course, as they draw near in that intimacy, then they will come into the fulfillment of what they are. Man, woman, father, mother, it makes no difference. And this is why the third day church, the glorious church, will accelerate continually. The growth will accelerate, and the power will accelerate and expand with each passing day. And this is why with third day evangelism, we need to have no fear. We need to be pure vessels of God's love. God's love will do the work, and God's power will do the work. We need to be the vessels. Of course, he'll use us to speak words and do things, but we will be perfect representatives of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this last hour. We talked some on godly desire and self-desire. Again, an extremely important thing. There are only two types of desires, godly desire and self-desire. One is rooted and grounded in a motivation, a love towards God, and based in his love abiding within us. And the other one is just simply fear. It's self-focus, it's selfishness, and all the things, of course, that are inherent in the old nature. But the fact is, there are only two desires. And we need to allow God to create in us, and this is another spontaneous result of the inner chamber, godly desire. Godly desire will love at all costs to oneself. Selfishness will always control and seek to manipulate in order to fulfill self's agenda. And in that perversity, find its comfort and its security in all things, all of which, are, of course, are apart from God. And if people maintain that and keep doing that, they're going to be left in a bad place by their own choice. John 7:17 says, if any man is willing to do the will of God, they will know of the teaching in this last hour. Again, if our hearts are wholly given to God and we're seeking nothing but his will, if our desire is to do nothing but fulfill all that we were created for, we will know of any false doctrine. We will know not only that, but anything that's apart from God. Because why? We are a people called to do nothing apart from Christ. And as we're going out doing nothing apart from Christ, to the degree that we are efficient or diligent in that, we will be able to see clearly what is apart from God. And I'll tell you this right now. If some person, some drug addict, got born again and all of a sudden had an experience with God, much like Paul's experience, and instantaneously they realized they're going to live the rest of their lives for God, they could come into a situation, a teaching situation or whatever, and if the man or the woman in the pulpit was preaching false doctrine, they would know something was wrong. They may not be able to go to the Word and prove why, but they'll know in their heart. That's the knowing that we're called to in this last hour. It doesn't matter what you know here. Do you realize that God doesn't care? And just let me finish this for you. God doesn't care about how you feel. And God doesn't care about what you think. All right? Take that to the bank. And now let me finish this. Because if we are a people, praise God, who understand Him and understand His desire, right, we're going to realize that the only thing that He bases on, what we know of Him. Now, having said that, if we know Him, we realize that He's made the provision for us to rise above the feelings, to rise above intellectualism, and to know the love that surpasses all knowledge. And that's why it's that way. Because so many people want to be ministered to, and they want to say, well, I feel this way. Well, I think this. No. We have to be a people who walk by revelation knowledge. And when we are, again, all these things will fall off. I mean, you know, God is releasing a true working fivefold ministry in this last hour. Of course, that's always been His desire. But the actual ministry in the second day was so hindered. And we've seen that in evangelism. Again, thank God for every righteous thing that was done. But, you know, the people need to do their part. Every member must supply the whole in this last hour, that we might come to the unity of the faith. See, all these things we're departing from. And there are going to be some people that decide not to get on the train because they're just still into that self-focus, and they still want to be ministered to on a soulish level. Yeah, certainly, that's gratifying. Well, I'll tell you something else that's gratifying to the soul, unforgiveness. And yet that's the most deadliest thing a person could be in, because God is coming to judge everything that denies the blood of Jesus in this last hour, because it's His desire to honor the blood of Jesus fully. And I know He'll do that throughout eternity, no question. And so these simple little things or casual little things that many in the church have been speaking but are actually blatant denials of the blood of Jesus are going to be judged. And I'm going to deal with this, because we are going to go into talking about the blood of Jesus and the importance of that to us in the past, now, and forever. John 15 says that apart from Me, you can do nothing. John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. Again, the importance of the inner chamber. See, every one of these scriptures leads to the divine requirement. It's all based on the divine requirement. In other words, if we come into perfect fellowship with God, that spirit of love is continually being poured forth in our heart. And it's what? It's casting out fear. It's casting out ground of fear. When you stay in perfect fellowship with God over a period of time, you are consistent, then ultimately He will use you to cast the fear, expose and cast out the ground of fear in the people that you run across, whether you're ministering to them, whether you're teaching, whatever. And so they can get free. Because you're either going to walk in absolute faith in this last hour, or you're going to walk in terror. There's no question about that in the world. And as we all know from the past, terror can cause people to do very strange things and say very strange things. We talked a lot about the importance of being free from fear. Isaiah 54 talks about, it says, fear not, for you will not be put to shame, neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. Verse 14 of that same chapter says, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression or fear. And will not fear. And from terror, for it will not come near you. There's an interesting covenant promise. All these scriptures, particularly in Isaiah 50 to 54, deal with our covenant. Many parts of our covenant. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we are going to cover that. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, by His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness. It also goes on to talk about and sanctification and redemption, and justification is included in that. dwelling or abiding in the presence of the Lord is the key to receiving the fullness of all that the Father has for us in Christ. It is the key to absolute empowerment in all things. I'm talking about absolute empowerment. Again, in this last hour, this day of absolutes, people are either going to be walking totally empowered by God or totally empowered by self, and you know who's ruling over you or controlling you. Romans 6:16 says, the one you obey is the one who will control you, basically. We know in Matthew 7, it talks about the narrow way. It also went on to talk about people that came before Christ at a point in time, and they said, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And he said, no. All the things you did, you thought you were doing that for my kingdom, but you didn't know me. You didn't come into that place of intimate fellowship, and therefore you were saying and doing things based upon the search for self-glory. I want to tell you this right now. You talk about a day of absolutes. Every word spoken, every action taken in the flesh, the root of that is self-glory. That's the simplicity of the whole thing, but the absoluteness of it. That's why we need to be a people who spend that time in fellowship with God, so that light is continually shining into our heart. And we'll know. We'll know if there's a problem, and we can deal with it. We can judge ourselves and deal with it, and then it's just a smooth trip. The way of the righteous is level, Isaiah 26 says. See, a lot of people, you know, they read that scripture, but because they've walked in a place of emotionalism and in the soul, they can't understand that, because no matter what they do, their walk is like this all the time, and they don't understand that. But I'm talking now about that place of abiding in righteousness. You know that scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that says, by his doing you are in Christ Jesus. That means we can't come into Christ Jesus on our own. It's by his empowerment, and that empowerment again comes from fellowship with him revealing himself to us continually, coming into a place of perfect trust. We have to have a consciousness that continually rises up in us and says we can do nothing apart from Christ. Because in this last hour, if people who call themselves Christians attempt to do something in their own power, they will be made a sign and a wonder. And that's not the kind of sign and a wonder that a person wants to be made, because God is coming to judge all that is apart from Christ and all that denies the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 35 talks about the highway of holiness. The highway of holiness. And that's in a certain place. You know where that highway is? It's right in the place. It runs right through the throne room. Seated Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. Now, I want to say this to you. It's extremely important. That's not some ethereal concept. What I'm talking to you about is spiritual reality. And it is the place that we need to abide in. It is the only place in our existence that we can be, say with Paul, that we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. The only place. These are absolutes. I am assured of one thing, that regardless of what happens, and I'm not talking about the people here, but whoever hears this or whatever, whoever else hears the third day revelation, one thing we can be assured of: God has made the provision, he has spoken this word out to people, and the only reason they've missed it to this point is because they have a hardened heart towards God, and he can't lead them to where they need to go. It could be as simple as a click on the mouse to lead them to the Faith Tabernacle website or any other website that is putting forth the uncompromised gospel of the kingdom. I've shared with you in the past that our God is a God of perfect purpose and a God of pinpoint accuracy. You see, when you draw close to him, you begin to understand that this is the way he is, and he never changes. And when we try to do things half-heartedly, we mess it up, whether in our own personal lives or whether in ministry or wherever. And we need to be a people that can rejoice in the fact that when God sends us to a place, say to minister a word, we can know that not only is that word going to be accurate, but it's going to meet the deepest need of the people's heart that we're ministering to. That's a wonderful thing. And we may not have a clue what we're saying. We may come out afterwards and think, I wonder if I said enough or did I say too much? But we can know by faith, when we're in right relationship with God, that whatever we say and whatever we do is the manifestation of perfect love into the lives of those who cross our path. It's their job to make the decision. Not our job to make decisions for people, but we can bring them to the place of absolute decision, and they have a clear choice. And God, our God is a righteous God, and nobody's going anywhere except by their own choice. But in this age, as the revelation of God's very person is being released to a degree that's never been allowed before by people, people are going to get set free in droves. I shared with you the vision of the school platform. Extremely important for every Christian to have a revelation that we are all equal in the Father's eyes. It doesn't matter what you're called to. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what sex you are. It doesn't matter what position you have. We are all equal in the sight of the Father. That is an eternal concept, and it is an eternal truth, and it's spiritual reality. And I'll tell you, when a Christian comes to the place where they understand that, and they walk in that, clarity will come. And people will stop looking at people and position, realize that they have a position that no one can take from them, that the Father's given that to them. I'll just read this. We are all equal in the sight of the Father. When one spends the proper time in the inner chamber, they will come to see themselves through his eyes, and they will be set free from the fear of what others think and seeking after the approval or praises of men. Thus, they will be able to focus very clearly on God's calling on their life. Again, I think the one thing that's so important in the revelation of our perfect positioning is that when we take the time to find out from God where he wants us, as far as that perfect fellowship with him goes, all these things become spontaneous byproducts of our obedience. And we're no longer having to deal, thinking and doing all these different things. That's where the devil wants to keep the Christian. If we'll truly enter into the place of rest, if we'll truly come to that place of abiding in that place of ascension life, that is seated with Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ in the heavenly places, everything else will unfold from there. And of course, as I said, as the train leaves the station, we need to be in that place to be understanding all things. I want to talk about, just briefly here, six aspects of spiritual reality concerning the inner chamber in this last hour. Number one, every child of God must continually seek to come to the place wherein they have a revelation of each and every aspect of the glorious covenant they have with the Father in Christ. Number two, as one enters into the fullness of their salvation, that's again that the fullness of that glorious covenant, in Christ, in this third day, they are going to have to be continually clothed and empowered by the precious blood of Jesus. Now you can understand or begin to understand why it's so dangerous for us to hold any kind of thing, fear or mistrust of God, because I don't care how much pressure comes and how much we think we'd run to God, if we hold that leaven there, it will cause people in this last hour to move away from God instead of to him, even in the most critical of circumstances. Because fear will take over or faith will take over, but one of those two is going to take over. You're not going to have time to sit there and weigh the options. Nor should we be a people who are doing that. The scripture in Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death." That word of their testimony, the word is martyria, and it means evidence or witness. In other words, we are going to be a people that are evidence, who make evident the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart in this last hour. And again, we are going to see the greatest outpouring of love that's ever hit this earth. Why? Because he's going to have a church that are holy, they're spotless and unblemished, and his pure, unadulterated love can go forth, and people will get set free gloriously. And not just set free, but set free to serve God, to be empowered by God, and to fulfill his purpose for their lives. And that's what we're in this earth for. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When? When we confess our sins, he is faithful. When? In that instant. Now, that takes practice. I know when I first started out and I missed it, I'd moan and groan for 3 weeks. And then I'd come in and confess that after I went through all that. Well, again, that's all part of that soulish gratification that's it's been built, we've allowed to, our lives to be built to. And that's why we need our minds renewed, our emotions renewed, and our wills renewed every day, so that we become stronger and stronger in serving God. Number four, all true kingdom work is predicated upon one being solely in Christ. Another absolute principle. I mean, there's a lot of people out there thinking, unconsciously, but they're thinking they're doing kingdom work. They're not. They're actually have become stumbling blocks to the revelation of the kingdom that God is bringing forth. And there is, now, again, I'll prophesy to you, there is a short window of time for these people to repent and to change their doctrine into a true doctrine based on revelation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the will of the Father. But just a short window. Because the Lord showed me that, yeah, there are people out there who are going to be rebellious to the end. I don't understand why they are and why others aren't, but He knows. And the fact is that, and I've talked to you before about Korah's rebellion being a type and symbol, that judgment being a type and symbol of the judgment in the church in this hour. An absolute judgment. They rebelled, God judged. And that will happen again. But there are still some hurting people out there. That's how this false doctrine and things get in. Because people haven't spent the time in fellowship with God. They haven't allowed God to heal them. And all these different hurts remained. And unforgiveness, perhaps. And of course, like the word God gave me about unforgiveness. I said, well, what can Satan do, you know, when people maintain unforgiveness? Because God had just finished saying to me it was the most dangerous thing that a Christian can put their hand on at any time. And He said, anything He wants to do, for as long as He wants to do it, leading to death even. And so you see, this root of unforgiveness in these people has caused these doctrines to spring out. And even though they're good intentioned in their heart, they're not abiding in revelation knowledge in that area. And that little leaven is leavening the whole loaf. That's the spiritual reality. But nonetheless, they are accountable to God for their positioning before Him. And if they do not repent, they will be judged. Number five, if we have the deep assurance in our heart that we are in the center of the Father's will and purpose, then it is certain that we shall be found standing or overcoming in all things. It's a very special thing. Another spontaneous byproduct of our time spent with God is that we can have the assurance in our heart. Oh, our circumstances may be a little haywire. We may have to exercise a conscious faith in where we're going. But the fact is, in the inner man, the deepest core of your being, when you have the assurance that you are in the center of God's will, nothing will stop you. Amen. Nothing can stop you. Amen. No lie can enter into that place. Again, the importance of being in that place of ascension life, that's being the ascension of Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places with Christ, it's so important. Because from that place, you are an overcomer in all things. The world has seen enough failure in the church. Amen. We're going to be a people who never fail because we're going to abide in the love of God. And love never fails to accomplish the purpose that love sets His heart on to accomplish. We get God's purpose. We carry it out in step-by-step obedience. We will not fail. And everything we do and say will accomplish His greatest eternal benefit for all those who cross our path. Number six, every child of God needs to know and understand what it is to be loved by the Father. Having a revelation of the Father's perfect love is the catalyst to one abiding in an absolute trust or an absolute faith in Him. Yeah. See, these things, if we don't take the steps in obedience to God, then as Christians, then we will fall short. Why? Because God sets the standard. It's our, if we love Him, we'll walk in it. Amen. If we don't, we won't. Everything that the Father requires of us is based on an ongoing relationship with Him and an ongoing reliance upon Him. Ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. It's not, you know, be a faith hero for 2 or 3 days and then be a real lout for the next 3 days. I'm going to have to look up that word. I haven't used that one for a while. Okay. Ah, there you go. Out in a boot. I knew I'd thrill people when I said that. The force of faith working from the position of an abiding love is the impetus and empowerment in all true kingdom service, without exception. In these days, we need to be partakers of the Word on an ongoing basis. We need to be those who meditate in the Word of God day and night and continually bring every thought captive to the revelation knowledge that will be the sure and certain byproduct of our time spent in that diligent meditation before the Father and His Word. Everything that the Father requires of us is based on an ongoing relationship with Him and an ongoing reliance upon Him. If one does not enter into the place of total reliance upon the Father and His Word in this last hour, then they will surely, surely come into a place of total reliance upon themselves and others, men, and the lies of the evil one, and will not even realize that they have departed from the perfect will of God for their life and ministry. And this is why the judgment is now about to accelerate. Because even though these people are doing this unconsciously, it makes no difference. They are still leading people away from the Father instead of to Him, and He will not accept that any longer. He is calling His people to accountability. And I've said this before, but all accountability, it does not begin with flesh and blood. It begins and ends before the face of the Father in the throne room. And if any departure from that will lead to deception, it will lead to a dependence on men. Anybody can surround themselves with 12 fools on a board that will agree with everything they say. We need to surround ourselves with God so that we know what God is saying, and then we'll be in agreement with Him. And then we'll also be surrounded by people who have that revelation. And so all of our accountability then is based on the revelation of God's will that we have and not on what men think we should do or not do. We have come down to a time of absolutes. Again, in the days ahead, those of God's children who are truly seeking Him with all their heart will be very, very conscious of the fact that they are abiding in the center of His perfect will for their life and ministry. See, there have been times of testing through the years where we've had to step in faith and step out, and we really weren't sure if it was God's will, but we got it maybe in a time of fellowship with Him, but then when we stepped out into the bad and ugly circumstances, all the pressures came against us, and it was a conscious act of the will and an exercising of faith to go forth. But in these days, God, part of the righteous, or the reward of the righteous in these days, is that we will walk under an open heaven. What that simply means to us is, in every way, shape, and form, it just means we'll have open communication with God, because the people of God will finally, corporately, be in the right position, and the devil can't go there. All these battles that he's doing, all these thoughts and the battle of the mind and in the realm that only he can attack in that place, only in that place, we're up above it. When you get up into that place, I'll tell you, you're not just not ignorant of his schemes. You're going to know exactly what's going on, and God's just going to send you out to take him apart in every way, shape, and form. See, this is the plan of God. It always has been. But now we're going to walk in it. When it comes right down to it, all that matters is what God has said, what God has done, and what God is doing. And then I talked to you a bit about divine empowerment. And I discussed the fact that what God commands, he empowers. Another absolute kingdom principle. So if we know what God has said to us, what to do or what to say, then we know that he will empower that perfectly. Perfect empowerment. Psalm 1 talks about the man of God or the woman of God, their delight is in the word of the Lord, and in that word he meditates day and night. Joshua 1 talks about the fact that as we meditate in the word day and night, then we shall have success, then we shall prosper. Another principle in that passage is that the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. See, these are all kingdom principles, absolute truths, and when we have these in our heart, then we will not fear to go forth in obedience to God, knowing that he's there. Yeah, we're going to get in some pretty strange situations. You can count on it. But I'll tell you one thing. The glory of God will always, always overcome in all things. You know, we quoted that scripture. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We will be a people who believe it and walk in it. I remember God gave me a word. It's amazing. I look back and he gave me some of these words. I mean, I didn't know very much, but I sure love God with all my heart. Back in those early days, I still do, but I didn't know very much. And I remember one day I was fasting for a week or so, and it was a glorious time. I think it was November 83, and he came to me, and he was revealing to me the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said, even if all the forces of Antichrist were lined up right outside that door, he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And it burned something on my heart. And so we're going to be facing some very interesting forces. But I'll tell you, we will be a people who are so assured, with a God assuredness, that we will overcome, that it will just be a matter of putting Satan to flight. Now, again, I've said this before, but the danger in this, not for us, because we're going to be the ones putting him to flight, he's going to try and strike everything on his way out. He'll attempt to strike any Christian not walking inside the covenant. You heard one of the six things I mentioned earlier. We need to be a people who have a revelation of the fullness of our covenant. Not just a bit here in this part, but not in this part. It's the same Jesus. It's the same covenant. It's the same blood. And it's purchased that, the whole thing. I'll get to a scripture here in a bit that talks about the covenant and the Father's desire. We talked about the importance of words. Matthew 12:34-37. Out of the fullness, the overflow, this is the Amplified, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, we need to be in proper fellowship with God, because it's extremely important that what's in our heart in abundance is all from God. Because again, in a time of pressure or any other time, out of the abundance of that heart will come the perfect words to represent Him perfectly. Words are more important than just, you know, keeping a good confession. Words are the vehicles for faith. They're the vehicles of power that will be released in this last hour. And in the world, of course, in the abundance of their heart is fear. And the words that come out will bring them into a devastating place. On the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, and in brackets, inoperative, non-working, non-faith-producing word they speak. That time has come. That's not something that's off in the future, at the end of all time. This is happening now. And so we, as servants of God, must be those who speak with perfect accuracy at all times. Again, we talked about authoritative prayer and prophetic proclamation. You could see it so clearly from the ministry of Jesus. He didn't have a lot of long prayers over people. He just heard what the Father was saying and spoke it, and into that, and it was always the perfect thing that he spoke. Remember when he was ministering to the one lady, and she'd been sick a number of years, and did he just say, "Be healed," and that's it? No, he said, "Will you be made whole?" So he was ministering to the deepest core of her heart. He knew that in there was some sort of an emotional attachment with this thing that had consumed her life for so many years. And we will be the same way. We will say and do some strange sounding things. They won't sound strange to us anymore, because we'll be so hooked into God. But it will always minister to the deepest heart and for the greatest eternal benefit of all those who cross our path. That's the type of assurance we will have. We talked about the fact that we are to let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. So you have to be abiding in Christ to fulfill that command. Amen. How would you know what word to speak, or what was wholesome, what was not wholesome, if we're not in that place of abiding in Christ? Such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may what? Impart or give grace to those who hear. You can define grace in this last hour as perfect empowerment. That's what, because he said to me one time, he said, defining grace, he said, "My grace is summed up completely in Jesus Christ." Mm-hmm. Completely. And so as we are abiding in Christ, walking in the fullness of our inheritance, we will have that perfect empowerment. We will impart the perfect empowerment that people need, wherever they are, to get free, to get raised up, to get on fire for God, to be baptized in fire, whatever it is. We need to have a perfection consciousness. Satan tried to come against that. But the simple reality of the matter is that God is the one that's going to be empowering us in all things. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I'll put that in a practical definition. Be perfectly motivated towards all those who cross your path as your heavenly Father is perfectly motivated towards you, and indeed towards all mankind. That's the absolute kingdom principle that Jesus was speaking of there. Extremely important. But again, we have to know His perfection to be vessels of that perfection. If people somehow maintain the idea that God is imperfect towards them, that's utter foolishness. I always tell people that if you've got a problem with God, just scrap that, come to the realization He's perfect, and then start letting Him deal with you, because He's not the one that's at fault. John 14 says, "He who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Again, the importance of relationship. See, these are written. This is written. You know, we cannot be a people that just look at the scriptures and, "Oh, isn't that nice," and then don't apply it to our own lives. And of course, it's not us that has to apply it to our own lives in that sense. It's that time in fellowship with Him daily that will cause Him to emblazon these words on our heart and make them real to us. They need to be real to us, because when they're real, you're going to be free. John 15 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Another part of that kingdom cycle of faith, love, and obedience. Faith, love, and obedience. If we walk in obedience, we will abide in His love. It's a cycle, and we are faithful daily. We come into that cycle by His empowerment.
And we all know what the other cycle is in the world. It's totally sustained by self-effort. And it's hard. Yeah. You know, isn't it funny? The scripture says that the way of the transgressor is hard. But many people in the past have acted that the way of faith is hard, or like the way of faith is hard. And I remember that word a few weeks ago where the Father said, you know, I've not called my people to a hard place by calling them to walk in faith. It's the way, it's the way of walking in the fullness of my blessing. And so we've had wrong attitudes in the past, but those are all going to be removed. Again, love never fails to accomplish the goal that love desires to accomplish. Another scripture, Jeremiah 1:12, God is watching over his word to perform it. John 16 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. 1 John 3 says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Again, the importance of the blood of Jesus, coming to that place of continual fellowship, and then we don't get into those shadows, those deceptions that Satan tries to get God's people into. Very, very important this last hour. We talked a lot about righteousness. Proverbs 28 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. God is raising up a people who will walk in a supernatural and divine and holy brashness and integrity. Now that word brashness has a very negative connotation in the world. I think in the ancient Gaelic, it came from a word that said impetuous, very negative traits. But actually, a deeper root of that word was a Scottish word that talked about an attack. An attack. Well, I'm telling you this right now. God is coming to attack everything that's apart from Christ with a holy love and righteousness. The force of righteousness being released will cause things to be exposed and convicted of, and it'll cause people to either repent or run, but they're not going to stay the same. But they will make that decision. 1 Peter 3 says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. 1 Peter 2 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, or you may represent him perfectly, proclaim his excellencies. Psalm 71 says, my mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long. Well, if we're going to tell of his righteousness, we're going to have to be abiding in his righteousness, in Christ. And if we're going to tell of his salvation, and when God speaks the word salvation, he means the fullness of his salvation, it's not, then we're going to have to be walking in that. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot speak what you do not have a revelation of with power. Amen. John 16 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Amen. Matthew 6 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear or single, Amen. Your whole body will be full of light. Yeah. And the fact is that in this third day anointing is one of great power and great clarity. In other words, when you hear somebody, a man or woman, minister under that third day anointing, there is no dark areas left to discuss, and God will have been represented perfectly. A prophecy, it is continued obedience in the lives of my children that allows my light to flood their hearts. The continued obedience allows it to flood. We want to be a people who are not only filled up but filled up and consumed to overflowing. And again, that scripture in John about torrents of living water will flow forth. It is continued obedience in the lives of my children that allows my light to flood their hearts, thus causing the seeds which have been planted within, that is, the incorruptible seed of my word, to grow and flourish into revealed knowledge. And as my children gain more and more revelation knowledge, it shall free them to go forth in my name with great boldness. That's that God-assuredness I'm talking about in our heart. Really, to be quite honest, I mean, I really do believe, I'm certain of it, that the gift of faith will be one of the predominant gifts in even the most practical things of life in this last hour. That's why we're going to get the job done so quickly. Because when you're operating in that gift, there isn't anything's going to stop you. You're operating with the very faith of God himself, unhindered. You just know because you know because you know. And it's to a greater degree than one can even imagine at times. The Father is calling his people to accountability, and part of that is that we are to be a people who walk by revelation or faith and not by sight or sense knowledge at all times. Ephesians 1:17 promises the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And of course, as you spend time in fellowship with God, you get to know Him. You don't want to operate in a wisdom apart from God. It's futile. You know, the days where Christians throughout the body of Christ are seeking for a quick fix, just to get them through this, oh, if I just do this, I'll get by, that's going to lead them into disaster. No, you acknowledge God in all your ways. You run to Him. You trust Him with all your heart. He will direct your paths, and that path is up here. The devil's path is down here. It's that way which seems right, but which way, the end is the way of death. Again, absolutes. Psalm 24 says, "Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Number one, three things. If one is not diligently seeking perfect fellowship with the Father and His Word in these days of ever-deepening darkness in the world, they shall surely be deceived. Again, we need to be in our kingdom position with both feet firmly planted. If one has any priority other than diligently seeking a perfect and abiding fellowship with the Father and His Word on His terms, then they are already deceived as far as their service to the Lord goes. Number three, the failure of one to abide in perfect fellowship with the Father and His Word in this last of the last hour will surely result in the fueling of the rebellious spirit already working in that one's life. And you know, that's exactly what happened to Korah. And that's exactly the same type of result will happen. Again, with this coming civil war in the church, our job is to walk and abide in perfect love. God will handle the rest. We must discern every thought exclusively in the light of God's Word, in the light of His revelation. 2 Corinthians 10 says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God." And in this day of judgment, we will once again be able to distinguish. See, we couldn't for a long period of time, between that which is truly righteous, that which is unrighteous. That those who truly serve God, those who don't. Those who truly love God, those who don't. Romans 13 says, "Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." In this last hour, those who truly seek divine light shall find it. Those who maintain any form of self-desire or self-agenda in a spirit of idolatry, that's the spirit that controls that, will not. John 3 says, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices, or I might say desires to practice the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." And the glorious church will be like a giant sword, dividing between that which is righteous in motivation, that which is unrighteous. Our job is to remain in that place of abiding, and things will fall where they will fall. This is the time. We're coming to the end of the age. And thank God, God's grace and mercy will always remain as long as there's a seed of repentance in the heart that crosses our path. And only He knows that. It's not games we play with that. We don't play games with that. But He knows our job is to be that perfect representation, and that judgment will happen automatically. That's how the judgment will happen in the household of God. And then when the household of God is purified, we will impact the earth in a way this earth has never been impacted before, corporately through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 97 says, "Light is sown like seed for the righteous." Psalm 98 says, "He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity," or integrity and uprightness. That one scripture, which I didn't read, it's in Psalm 25, I believe. It says that the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And it says, and He will make them know His covenant. That means He'll make us know the fullness of His covenant. Again, proper fellowship with God, He will reveal the fullness of our salvation, our glorious salvation in Christ to us. Now, in conclusion, Philippians 1:28 in the WUS translation says, "And do not be terrified in even one thing by those who are entrenched in their opposition against you." That could be demonic or the vessels they're using. "Which failure on your part to be frightened is an indication of such a nature as to present clear evidence to them of their utter destruction." Amen. This is coming to pass in this day. "Also clear evidence of your salvation, and this evidence from God." 1 Peter 4 says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment or discernment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." And again, we talked about the prayer going forth in prophetic proclamation and authoritative prayer. Habakkuk, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it basically says, hold fast to the vision. Write it and hold fast to it. We are a people with vision. I shared with you a few weeks ago the scripture from Ezekiel, and it talked about the fact that God said, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak, declares the Lord God. And finally, Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. We just thank you and praise you, Father. We thank you for all the words you've and visions that you've given us and revelations. And Father, I thank you that you bring us. We acknowledge our accountability in that. And we set ourselves, Father, to walk in an absolute faith, working through a perfect love, manifesting in a perfect obedience. And to you may all the glory come forth and be. In Jesus' name, amen.